Mike Adams here with an emergency update on the dioxin fallout from the Ohio train disaster. I've got new information to share with you here that's, I found it quite alarming. You can decide what you think of it. I just want you to know that editorially, naturalnews.com, we're going to be publishing very shortly, and also a video that I'm filming later today, actually, in the studio. Covering what we found as the defensive remedies, the superfoods, the nutrients. Nutrition is the answer to this. Well, I mean, frankly, there are a couple of answers. One answer is to stop burning chlorinated compounds. We'll talk about that. But the other answer is that since we live in a toxic world, nutrition, these key nutrients, one of which is vitamin E, by the way, which we'll talk about later. But things like chlorophyll, things like indole-3-carbinol, there are various carotenoids and green tea catechins and so on that are highly, highly effective at helping your body eliminate dioxins. But we're going to publish that report, full video, full article coming soon, maybe as early as tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Watch naturalnews.com and brighteon.com for that information. But what I wanted to get across today is in studying this, and I have to give credit to Eric Coppolino from planetwaves.fm. Eric Coppolino is the one whose article really opened my eyes to dioxins. And since then, I can hardly sleep. And I even find myself thinking that I can't believe that this wasn't on my radar. And I mean, I'm a food scientist specializing in food contamination. That's what I do. That's what we do in our lab. You know, we have 6 mass spec instruments. I've developed methods for quantitation of glyphosate using mass spec, triple quad mass spec, without requiring post-column derivatization, things like that. I've developed methods. I run the instruments. We run heavy metals analysis via ICP. We run, you know, pesticide analysis. We run aflatoxin analysis. And we're looking at, we're going to roll out an atrazine method right now, that because that's the second most common weed killer. But in all the years of this, what I've learned about dioxins is so shocking that, frankly, it blows away the toxicity of glyphosate, or heavy metals, or even pesticides, herbicides, anything else that we have looked at pales in comparison to the toxicity of dioxins. You can't even compare. The orders of magnitude difference in toxicity, I mean, it's hard to know exactly how many orders of magnitude because there are so many factors in this. But you could easily say that dioxins are at least a billion times more toxic than, let's say, glyphosate, okay? Or a billion times more toxic than lead or arsenic, or perhaps 100 or perhaps a million times more toxic than mercury, for example. Nothing comes close to the toxicity of dioxins other than something like VX nerve gas. You know, if you unleashed nerve gas on a population, or Zyklon B, or you dumped, cesium-137 radiation, that might be comparable. That's how dangerous dioxins are. And what scientists have come to realize is that there is literally no safe level of exposure. Even if you're exposed to one quadrillionth of a gram, and I use that term deliberately, 1 quadrillionth of a gram of dioxin, you will suffer negative effects. That's what the science actually says on this. And that's what the EPA used to warn about before the EPA got taken over by industry and now is in cover-up mode on everything, just like the CDC, you know, covering up vaccines. Oh, and speaking of vaccines, by the way, you know, dioxins are far more toxic than vaccines, but in a very different way, right? These mRNA injections, they don't try to directly let's say, poison you with a chemical poison, they take over your genetic code and they turn your body into a bioweapons factory that churns out spike protein bioweapons and who knows what else. So it's apples and oranges. It's kind of hard to compare vaccines versus dioxins, but they are both extremely toxic, extremely deadly. It's just that dioxins don't go away. They're classified as persistent pollutants. In fact, persistent bioaccumulative toxins, as they're known, PBTs. That's what the EPA refers to them as. And they're known by environmental scientists all around the world as the most toxic substance ever created by man. Period. Nothing else created by man is more toxic than these dioxins. Dioxins are also called the perfect poison because they persist, so they do not disappear. In fact, I'm having trouble finding information that accurately describes under what conditions dioxins would ever disappear. They seem to be forever chemicals. They simply don't degrade, they don't vanish. They have chlorine atoms on the four corners, you could say, if you're looking at a diagram of the molecule, and these chlorine atoms make this thing armored, basically. The chlorine makes it, armored is the best term, so nothing can come in and mess with the molecule. It's essentially like Teflon, like a Teflon coating for the molecule, which also happens to interfere with hormones and the endocrine system and cellular division and reproduction and neurology and, you know, cardiovascular function and on and on and on. This was like the perfect armored toxic molecule that can cause maximum damage in the human body, and really nothing can break it down. It seems like microbes don't break it down, not that I know of. Sunlight doesn't just automatically break it down. It doesn't just break down by itself. I mean, glyphosate breaks down in microbes in soil, and it breaks down into byproducts such as AMPA. And glyphosate eventually becomes harmless. You know, eventually. It takes time, yes. But if you spray glyphosate, if you were to drop a glyphosate bomb on a town, a few years down the road, eventually that glyphosate would be gone. Not so with dioxins. If you drop a dioxin bomb on a town, that stuff stays around for centuries. Centuries. Possibly millennia. We just don't know. Again, I can't even find any seemingly accurate information about how this breaks down. How does this ever go away? Okay. So, I mean, that's the reality of what we're dealing with. So it's persistent. It's bioaccumulative. So it builds up in fat tissues. It builds up through the food chain. The cows eat the grass that's covered with dioxins. The cows concentrate the dioxins in fat tissues. It ends up in the beef, the milk, the cheese, the dairy. And then humans eat that, and then they accumulate the dioxins. So that it just keeps getting more and more concentrated as you move up the food chain. And that doesn't even count direct exposure, because if you live in East Palestine, you've been directly exposed to this, or anywhere near East Palestine. Practically the whole northeast quadrant of the state of Ohio and the northwest section of Pennsylvania and probably, you know, New York State and Canada, and who knows how far this is going. There's going to be some amount of this that's spread everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, frankly. Everywhere. You'll probably find this stuff at the North Pole. And so everyone is exposed to this. Every one of us, myself included, we are all exposed because we're all getting it through the food that we eat. It's in the plants, but it's especially in the animal products because for the reasons I mentioned, the bioaccumulation moving up the food chain. So it's in breast milk, folks. So when babies are breastfeeding, they're getting dioxins from breast milk. Doesn't mean you shouldn't breastfeed. It just means you need to understand how to eliminate dioxins. And we're going to talk about that again. We're going to publish a whole video and story on that from the best information that we have using published science on PubMed. Now, where are all these dioxins coming from? And this gets to the topic of our throwaway society. In our throwaway society, you know, we modern humans, we generate all kinds of stuff, you know, PVC pipes in particular, but a lot of other chlorinated compounds that are in consumer products. For example, clothing that's treated with a water repellent technology, those are chlorinated compounds. So when those clothes are dumped into the landfill, or let's say if they're incinerated, you're going to create dioxins from the chlorinated compounds. Or if there's a house fire, the PVC that's burned up in the house fire actually generates dioxins, which just goes right up into the air and is spread all over the place. Cookware contains chlorinated compounds because that's part of the nonstick surfaces. Even labware. So in our laboratory, all kinds of lab equipment, from beakers to liquid handling tubing to pipette tips, it's all treated with chlorinated compounds because it's armor. It repels water. You know, dioxins are, they repel water, but they move into fat. So they love lipids, they love fatty acids, they love body tissues that are fat, and they're afraid of water. From a chemical point of view. But as long as we keep manufacturing all of these toxic chlorinated substances in our society, which happens throughout industry, you know, it's the vinyl flooring, it's the vinyl siding, any of these substances that are sort of PVC derived, when they are incinerated, when they burn, they generate dioxins. And the dioxins then just go into the atmosphere and they fall on all the farms and soils and grasses and rivers and streams and, you know, rooftops of homes and everything that you can think of. As long as we keep making these in our society, we will not succeed as a species. This will end us. That's how dangerous this is. This will end us because we're generating these toxic compounds and these toxic throwaway products at a rate that is far higher than the rate at which these dioxins will ever vanish. We are piling toxicity layer upon layer upon layer in our landfills, in our soils, in our food supply. We're dumping it in the rivers and the oceans. It's in our bodies. Even when you cremate a human body, you generate dioxins to some degree because of the chlorine, the chlorinated compounds that contaminate a person's body. This is a cycle that will end us if we don't stop this practice. And that's going to be very difficult to do because chlorinated compounds are highly, highly useful in industrial processes. But there are simple things that we can do. For example, for your plumbing, stop using PVC and start using PEX, which is something I've recommended anyway. PEX means cross-linked polyethylene. PEX pipe is different from PVC. PVC is, you know, crazy toxic. PEX pipe is just normal trash, nowhere near as toxic if you set it on fire. So there are things we can do as a society that we need to make some decisions about. And we need to understand what it takes to eliminate dioxins. But so far, those discussions are not happening. It's all just being swept under the rug. The media is covering this up. The government's covering it up. Nobody's talking about this, except those of us in the alternative media. We're the only ones telling the truth. We're the only ones willing to do the accurate scientific testing. And that's why if humanity is to survive, the independent media is critical for our survival. I'll have more on this throughout the week. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead. Naturalnews.com, also Brighteon.com. And I do want you to know at healthrangerstore.com, we have chlorella. We have freeze-dried broccoli sprouts. We have greens powders that are filled with cruciferous vegetables. We have vitamin E. We have all kinds of nutrients that you need right now to boost your nutritional supplementation and help support your body's natural detoxification process, especially as it comes to dioxins and other chemicals that you've got to eliminate from your body. Check it out, healthrangerstore.com. We've got the nutrition. We do the lab testing. We are the cleanest food, superfood, and supplement source in the world. We do more testing than anybody on planet Earth. And we're adding dioxin testing to our lab in the next 90 days or so. I'll keep you posted about all that. Thank you for your support. Take care.